The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Harvard suing the U.S. administration at the White House planning to encourage women to have more children, and Donald Trump on his way to the Pope's funeral. We'll talk about all of those. But first, the U.S. Secretary for Defense, Pete Hegseth, has landed himself in hot water yet again, as reports reveal he shared highly classified information in a second Signal chat. The defense secretary sent sensitive information about strikes in Yemen to an encrypted group that included his wife and his brother and many more people. Now, a clearly irate Pete Hegseth spoke to the media at an Easter egg roll at the White House yesterday.
You know, what a big surprise that a few leakers get fired and suddenly a bunch of hit pieces come out from the same media that peddled the Russia hoax. Won't give back their Pulitzers. They got Pulitzers for a bunch of lies. Pulitzers for a bunch of lies. And on hoaxes, time and time and time again. And as they peddle those lies, no one ever calls them on. See, this is what the media does. They take anonymous sources from disgruntled former employees, and then they try to slash and burn people and ruin their reputations. Not going to work with me, because we're changing the Defense Department, putting the Pentagon back in the hands of warfighters, and anonymous smears from disgruntled former employees on old news doesn't matter. So I'm happy to be here at the Easter egg roll with my dad and my kids, because, you know, this is what we're doing it for. These kids right here. This is why we're fighting the fake news media. This is why we're fighting slash and burn Democrats. This is why we're fighting hoaxsters. Hoaxsters. This group, no, this group right here, full of hoaxsters that peddle anonymous sources from leakers with axes to grind, and then you put it all together as if it's some news story, and when we know it, we know exactly what it is. So I'm really proud of what we're doing for the president, fighting hard across the board, and I'm going to go roll some Easter eggs with my kids. Thank you.
And that's a clearly angry Pete Hegseth yesterday at the egg roll in the White House. I'm joined by Terry Sheridan, Senior Director of News at WSHU Public Radio. Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Pat.
Now, when I heard that clip this morning for the first time, I said to myself, Pete Hegseth is toast. He's finished.
Well, there are, again, if you want to call it fake news or hoaxers or whatever, there's talk that while there is much support in the administration for him, or at least public support, there are machinations behind the scenes to find a new Secretary of Defense. Reasons being is, again, this is the second one where classified information was put in the hands of people who didn't have authorization to see that. It's taking the veneer of competence, if there is any competence in the Trump administration, and erasing that. And it's just demoralized the rank and file of the U.S. military, because, again, if it was anyone else, with the exception of the Secretary of Defense, they would be either demoted, court-martialed, or imprisoned.
Now, where is the leaking coming from? Because, you know, many of the people at the top in the Department of Defense are actually Trump appointees. The senior people that were there before, they've been really obliterated.
They seem to be, well, again, we're reading the tea leaves here, but it seems to be people who in the Trump administration, or who were hired by Hegseth, people who are supposedly pro-Trump, who were let go for evidently leaking information to the media. So, again, looking at what happened over the past 2 weeks with people who may or may not have been in this second Signal group, they appear to be the people who are fighting back.
Now, Trump will stand four square behind his defense secretary until he doesn't. I mean, that's the way it works. But at the moment, he's absolutely expressing total confidence in Hegseth.
Absolutely. Again, the big thing, and if you hear, go back to what you played with Hegseth, he's blaming this all on the media. It's the media who's hoaxers. It's the media who's making up things. It's the media who's taking stuff from disgruntled employees, putting it all together. Trump does not want to see to lose, in air quotes, to the media. So, again, it may not be with this, but right now, as I said, the veneer of competence or the veneer of whatever is gone. And that's the one thing that Trump and the administration need. That's part of their image, is that, hey, we're here, we're in charge, we're going to take charge, and we're going to fix things.
Yeah, and the difficulty is he does not want to seem to have made a mistake, because then the question marks will be over the rest of his cabinet. Moving on to the lawsuit that Harvard University has taken against the administration because of threats to their funding and their tax status. Tell me more about that, how that's evolving.
All right. Well, Harvard University is the richest university in the world. It has an endowment of over $52 billion. The administration threatened to withhold $2 billion in funding for health programs, for research, scientific research, if Harvard didn't submit to a list of demands from the administration regarding what they teach, how they patrol anti-Semitism, etc. Harvard said that they would not follow the guidelines, and that's where it all blew apart. Now, last week, the administration said, well, this letter that we sent to Harvard, we sent by mistake. It shouldn't have been sent. It was unauthorized. We stand behind it, but it was wrong. So after Harvard said that they weren't going to abide by what the administration wanted, the administration then said, well, we're going to do a couple of things. One, we're going to take away another $1 billion from you, and we're going to possibly revoke your tax status, and we're possibly going to make it impossible for international students to come to Harvard, where that's where universities in the United States make most of their money. Harvard, in turn, sued the administration, sued Donald Trump, various members of the cabinet, saying that their First Amendment rights are being abridged.
Now, we'll see that in court, I suppose. And there's so much activity against the administration from various quarters on the actions they have taken. And some judges are facing down the administration. So it looks like everything ends up in the Supreme Court, and that will be the test. And we know that Clarence Thomas and Judge Alito are likely to toe the Trump line. They don't seem to have any appetite to do other. But the court may have a majority that will, being constitutionalist, will face down any threats to the Constitution from Trump.
Well, we saw on Saturday night, early Saturday morning, when, again, a 7-2 ruling against the administration over some of the deportation plans, especially with Venezuelans, where it's like, no, this what you're doing is unconstitutional. You know, stop. Again, Thomas and Alito dissented. So that is a hopeful sign that at least the Supreme Court will, on various constitutional issues, you know, hold the line and say, no, there is a separation of powers. You can't do that. This is a rule for the courts. This is a rule for the legislative branch. But everything is winding up in courts at the same time. And so far, the Trump administration has not been following court orders, whether from the Supreme Court or whether from lower federal courts. So that is where we stand now. If the Supreme Court rules even 9-0 that something should happen, will the Trump administration go along with it?
Now, another plan for the Trump administration seems to be to encourage American women to have more kids.
Absolutely. President Trump says that he is the fertilization president. And what they're doing is they're rolling out plans, and we could see them concrete later in May. And that is a $5,000 baby bonus to women who give birth. There's also thoughts of maybe 30% of Fulbright scholars, the applicants who are married and or have children, that they would be reserved for that. And they also want to start an education process for women to educate them about their menstrual cycles and to understand their fertilization. This has been a conservative point for several years now. The United States has had a declining birth rate since about 2007. Conservatives say that they want to make the family the core institution in American society, and this is a way that they think that they can do so.
It comes against the revelation last week that Elon Musk has been advertising for women to have his babies.
Again, the whole thing with Elon Musk is that he wants to, and I'm using his words, he wants to seed the population with what he's calling intelligent people. The interesting thing with all these plans here, and again, very early stages, we're not seeing the full plan, is the role of in vitro fertilization. Many conservatives are against it for moral grounds, the same grounds that they're against abortion. But this is something that the Trump administration is actually promoting, again, to get the birth rate up to help women and families have families, or women and families have more children.
More children. It reminds me of a movie, I don't know whether you ever saw it, Terry, called The Boys from Brazil, which was where they were producing these heirs to Hitler from various women. Yeah. But they had Hitler's seed, which was impregnated. This is just from memory, I'm recalling this. But you've got Musk's seed creating a legion of people for the apocalypse. This is the whole line that he's peddling. Moving on for the apocalypse for Jerome Powell. I mean, will he face it or will he face Trump down?
Who knows? It appears so far that he will face Trump down, that he is not going anywhere. And again, it's the performance of the markets, I believe, that's ultimately going to decide whether the Fed chief will leave or whether he will wait until Donald Trump actually takes actions to get rid of him. The one thing that we've learned is that after Trump stopped the massive retaliatory tariffs last week or 2 weeks ago, is that he's very leery about the market and he's very leery about the bond market. So if anything happens, you know, yesterday was a down day on the markets. If anything happens to shake the markets, he's not going to do it. If he thinks he can get away with getting rid of Powell and not affect the markets, he'll do so.
And the market pundits are attributing the fall in the markets yesterday to Trump's tweeting about Powell yet again.
Absolutely. I mean, again, you know, with Powell, whether again, I'm not an economist, I'm not a financial guy, but the people, I guess the smart money, no pun intended, are looking to see, OK, is someone who understands what the economy is, what the markets are, how monetary policy, if they're doing certain things in a non-political way, why is Trump going against them?
Ed, the final question is about Trump going to the Pope's funeral. I mean, everywhere an American president goes, of whatever party they belong, is like a circus, a security circus. You know, why is he doing this? He himself and the Pope didn't really have a lot of time for each other.
No, they didn't. The Pope, there's that famous picture of the Pope looking like he had just eaten a sour lemon when he had a picture taken next to a smiling Trump. Trump has taken issue with some of the things that the Pope has said. So, again, I think it's just that Donald Trump wants to be the center of attention. There was something another president once said or was said about him, is that he wants to be the corpse at every funeral and the bride at every wedding. And I think that applies to Donald Trump.
Terry Sheridan, Senior Director of News at WSHU Public Radio. Terry, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.